Well, good to be here. We love you. And like I said, we are praying for you. May the Lord bless you. I know it's Wednesday. Let's stand to our feet and honor the Lord's word. Boy, we love the Bible, don't we? Praise God, hearing people getting saved. Wonderful. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Let's turn our Bible to 2 Thessalonians. And this is something I've just skipped right over. I've read the Bible. If you hadn't read the Bible through, you need to. And if you hadn't, it's because you won't. Amen. And you don't. It's there for us to read. Amen. So you need, and it ain't just reading it through. And hey, on the flip side of that, while you turn, and give some of you time to turn, don't read you three for the day just to get it done.
Right.
You'd be better off with one word out of it than 10 chapters of speed reading. I promise you, one word from the Holy Ghost in truth will do more for you for a month than three chapters a day speed reading, not looking for nothing. Amen. That's right. 2 Thessalonians, are you there? Look at chapter number 3. And this is something I've read over and just looked over. Simple. I wouldn't dare come here and try to preach something, you know, deep. He covers all that. I just come and hit the high notes. But simple tonight. But boy, the Lord helped me through this. I hope he'll help you. Look at with me verse 16. It's the ending of a book, the second book, Thessalonians. Let's look at verse 16. The Bible says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all." The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing and honoring the Lord's word. And we do honor the Lord's word. By standing, we don't do that even out of routine. Sometimes I'll have my, I tell you what I've been doing here lately. I've been just preaching. Read a verse, preach a verse. Read a verse, preach a verse. And I've been enjoying it. I mean, enjoying it. Just, I told my church, I said, if you ain't going to read your Bible at home, I might as well read it to you. They ain't reading it. Amen. And someone said, I didn't know that was in there. I said, that's what, open it. It's there. Just open it. Amen. Now, we just read a simple verse at the end of a book. Paul's closing out a book. He's giving the salutation. And just, you know, by this time, I mean, we've done read big verses. You know, we got big verses and little verses stuck in our mind. And, you know, and really, verses really wasn't even anointed or appointed. I don't know about all that. That was later. It was a letter written. Wasn't verses put there. That was, and that is to help us. But that's not anointed. Or appointed. But, you know, we get so caught up in these big ones. And, you know, like right here in these two books, First and Second Thessalonians, some of the greatest verses you'll ever read. But, and the writer is dealing with the end days and what's to come. And Jesus is getting them ready, you know, for the end of time, you know. And so when you're looking at the big broad spectrum of how this whole thing's coming together and closing together, and you're reading this, and it's like one page of your newspapers, one page of your Bible, it's just all coming together like it should be. It's easy to skip over just a salutation at the end of a chapter and not even realize that's God anointed word. Just as much as what we look at is to be the big part. Hey, you can't get no bigger than now the Lord of peace.
Amen.
Himself.
That's big.
Yep.
Amen. How much bigger can you get than him?
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Wow. Now the Lord of peace.
Amen.
Himself.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all. Listen, I want to preach for a few minutes on the subject, the Lord of peace.
Amen.
It's been mentioned in the service. And I promise you, I just preached the second of three sons' funeral within a year. Two boys, brothers, died. Both of them called to preach in my church, men in my church, young men, one younger man. had two little girls, buried him last week. Still got two little girls, a wife, bereaving. Less than a year ago, his mother buried his other her other son, both of them running from God.
My son.
Back on the pills again.
Mercy.
Popping the pills again, toking the joints again, and have one. I mean, been called to preach and living the Christian life and on fire for God. And
mercy.
Somewhere along the line, lost their peace. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to be hyper spiritual on you tonight and come up here. I did tie a tie and put it on, and it's only for you. I believe in heaven we'll have camos and overhauls. Amen. I believe that. Amen. I don't believe there'll be any ties in heaven, brother. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. This is only for you that I do that. But I've lost my peace. Hey, listen, I pastor a Baptist church of people just like you. It's easy. Trust me, it's easy to lose your peace.
Right.
Amen. You ever done it?
Amen.
Have you, like the pastor mentioned, have you ever been to the place in your life to where you just seemingly could not find or gather together anything steady and steadfast and unmovable, and just seemed like your peace was vanished? You didn't have any. You say, well, I bless God, I've never been there. Well, then bless God, let me shake your hand after church. Because you are a spiritual giant. We need it. God might need to put another chapter in here and include you. Well, I ain't been that person. Hey, matter of fact, when she was singing about those that failed the Lord and been down and God had, hey, listen, that's me. I can identify with that. These super saints, I don't know about that. And this thing's supposed to be about Him.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. But and if we'll keep it about Him, we'll learn more about peace. But when we get our eyes on one another, that's when we begin to lose it. But I want to deal with this one verse just briefly. The Lord of peace. Number one, let's look at what the Bible says. It says, now the Lord of peace Himself. Himself. I want to speak first of all on the person of peace. You cannot have peace without a person. And it can't just be any person. Just anybody cannot produce peace. Just anybody cannot give peace. I mean, there is false peace out there and people that's promising peace. And the Bible even talks about in the end days, in the time of Antichrist, that they'd be crying out, peace, peace. And boy, ain't we hearing that. Right. Oh, everybody claims they've got to fix it all for peace. And everybody claims that they're going to come up with a document. Obama's even said, they're working right now on a peace treaty for over there in Israel and all that. And all that's coming together. But I want to deal with it more tonight on a personal level than a political level. We hear a lot of political stuff and all that. But listen, politics won't get you nowhere but depressed. Amen. That's all it'll get. And I get tuned into Fox. I keep on, and all these other, and I keep up with what's going on. And it just at the end of the day, you come to the conclusion, you're just depressed. You've lost your peace. This whole thing's coming unwound quicker than we put it back together. And it's easy to let that get in our way. But if we will zone in on the person of peace, where does it come from? Who? Well, who is it? The Bible said the Lord. Now, the Lord of peace. It just clarified who we're talking about, who we're speaking of. And it's not, some pope or some priest, or it's not some leader of some movement. It's not even, a Baptist pastor or a preacher. Listen, it's not even, you can't even count on your own wife or your own husband or your own siblings or your own children. You can't count on people. Hey, listen, some of my most faithful, I just mentioned the one I buried and then his brother a year ago. The one I buried a year ago, he was the most faithful church member for a period of time of any of my church members. Any. Out of all of them, he would be there for every prayer meeting, for every camp meeting, revival, early prayer meeting, visitation. He would be there. And God put him in an early grave because he lost his peace. I'm telling you, peace is important.
Yes, it is.
It's highly important. You try to let, hey, he was talking about suicide. I believe said Brother Pace, Brother Terry Pace, the priest here, a great man of God, and touched on this situation of suicide. Hey, just got two girls in our church right now. One just has tried it twice. She's in the hospital right now. Just come through. We just met her and trying to help them. But she's tried twice suicide in the last month. And another one's tried it. And our kids and teenagers, listen, they don't even know what peace is. They don't know what peace is all about. And you know, it's back like it was in the hippie movement. They're crying out for peace. But listen, that's the peace this world can produce. God produces real, sustaining peace. So what is peace? Who is the person of peace? I tell you what peace cannot be. Peace cannot be explained. You cannot explain the person of peace. Listen, as much as we preach and try, as eloquent as he can put it, and as God-filled and anointed in this finite being that we have, in our little pea brain minds that we have, in our language, in our levels, we cannot explain the peace of God and the person of that peace. Listen, more preachers have preached more messages, more singers have sang more songs, and listen, if the ocean was full of ink and the earth was full of quill, hey, listen, it'd never be enough to explain the person of peace. He's unexplainable. He's unexplainable, but listen, I love it trying. I love it trying. If we let people see some of the peace in us, they might want a piece of our peace. Amen. Amen. Well, he cannot be explained, not only that, but he cannot be exhausted. I'm just going to zip through these and we'll go home. But listen, ain't you glad God don't run out?
Yeah, man.
I mean, listen, some days I need him more than others, seems like. But I need him every day, and you do too. But hey, you cannot exhaust him. I just read on the way over here. I've been reading my Bible all day today. I love days like that. When you can just read, I mean, it's raining outside. She put some chili in the pot. And we was just, you know, she got the girls out, and I just had my Bible. And there we was, and me and the Lord, the person. Wasn't just a book, you know, leather binding with white pages and black letters on it. No, there's a person. Hey, there's a person I was yoked up with today. He was giving me his word and patting my soul with peace.
Amen.
John 1, you say, back it up. All right, John 1:1, turn your Bible. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
That's the person. Hey, you cannot exhaust this book. Amen. Every nook and cranny you think you've dug it all out, trust me. Go. I think Brother Sattler said. Didn't you? Didn't he teach you, Brother Sattler said. You look on this Bible, you'll find him on every page, and if you find a page he's not there, go to the next one. You'll find him twice. Amen. That's right. Amen. You can't exhaust him. The person of peace. Hey, listen, you can go to him 1,000 times a day. And listen, he's still got peace for you.
Yeah.
When your peace is depleted and gone, and listen, in this vile, wretched body, and listen, some of you may think, you know, you're up on some high pedestal, and I think Paul said it like this, I have not apprehended. Hey, we ain't got there yet. I think last time I preached there, I used that text. Hey, we hadn't arrived. We hadn't got to the point where we don't need God's peace anymore. No, way much away from that, we need it more now than ever. I'm realizing every day that I get closer to Him, to the light. I'm seeing more imperfections and more holes all through me, and I need Him every hour. Amen. Amen. By the mercies of God, we're not consumed. We need the peace of God. And we'll never know the peace of God until we know the person of peace. The Lord of peace. Now, the Lord of peace. Himself. Ain't it wonderful to know Him?
Yeah.
I mean, when she was just singing Jesus, and just that name,
yeah,
just the name,
yeah.
Jesus, brings peace to me.
Amen.
I've had to do several funerals lately, and you know, you always feel so empty, Pastor, and void. You feel like just an empty well that has no water, and people's just drawing up that bucket, and there's hollow, empty words to give them. at the when death is standing in the room. And I remember trying to conjure up something to give him. I felt so just so helpless. And I was wanting these people to have peace. And finally, I just got to saying his name over and over. I just started whispering prayerfully, really, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, help us. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, help us. Help this family. Jesus. And just by speaking that name, before I knew it, I mean a hush had come over that family, and seemed like the devil. I saw him going up the road. At his name, devils will flee. I promise you, listen, there's peace in the name Jesus.
Amen.
Power in the name Jesus.
Amen.
We need, hey, listen, the name Jesus will do one of two things. I don't care if you're saved or lost. One of two things. It'll either encourage you and give you peace and bring peace, or boy, it'll make you run from it.
Yeah.
Even further.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because
He exposes wherever He's at. He exposes the person of peace. He can't explain Him. You can't exhaust Him. You can't exterminate Him. You can't do away with God.
Yeah.
How many have tried?
Right.
Well, who was it? Voltaire, that great atheist and God denying, God hating.
Yeah.
Voltaire said, you know, he was going to stomp out Christianity and stomp out the Word of God. In his lifetime, he said, I will do away with the Word of God and with those so-called believers and Christians. They'll be done away with in my lifetime. He made that brazing statement. Only for after his funeral and proceedings to be done, only for them to, I think the Geneva Bible Institute to be born right there and birthed right there, praying the Word of God in his house. Amen.
Yeah.
How you going to exterminate a God like him?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody like him. Isaiah said, oh yes, that's right. Read Isaiah 45. Let's turn there quickly. Isaiah 45. Help me find it. Isaiah 45. This is good. Isaiah 45, if you ain't there, you'll catch up. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-legged gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight, and I'll break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee treasures of darkness and hidden riches secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the Lord of am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I guarded thee, though thou hast not known me. There is no God besides him. Well, I was preaching along through there just recently. And boy, that's some good truths in Isaiah. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the person of peace. Number two, quickly, the promise. Go back to 2 Thessalonians, the promise. He said, now the Lord of peace himself, that's the person, himself, the Lord. The person of peace. Let me ask you something, just by application. Have you met him?
Yeah.
Do you know him? Do that old song, do you know my Jesus? Have you heard?
Yes.
Huh? Do you know him?
Yeah.
Listen tonight. We mentioned the president, and I'll give him, I'll call him president. The Bible teaches us to pray for him. Listen, I was going to say this earlier. I don't agree with anything that he does.
Yeah.
Except, you know, killing Bin Laden, some of that, but I don't agree with a whole lot he does. But the Bible still teaches us to love him and pray for him. And people that I don't even like, we're still commanded to love them, pray for them. Amen.
Amen.
He is our president.
Yes, right.
He's our leader. Whether we like it or not, we got voted. We outvoted.
Yeah. Right.
Probably because most of us didn't vote. And how dare you, stinking hypocrite? Even don't even open your mouth to me about how sorry he's doing. If you did not vote, you stinking hypocrite.
Yeah, you didn't vote.
Your non-vote is what put him there. Amen. Like I tell our church, if you don't tithe, it don't matter if we spend all of our money on Happy Meals. It's none of your business. That's right. We'll go to Mickey D's today and spend the last of the tithing. You ain't got a blessed thing to say about it. That's right. Amen. Either get in or get out. Amen. Amen. Any up. Amen. That's right. Hey, listen, you know, how many people did it take to get prayer in school?
One.
If you look at it the way I've always looked at it, one. Think about it, though.
Yeah.
It took a whole lot more than that. One woman's voice.
Yeah.
But it took a lot more of no voices.
Oh, mercy, brother.
It wasn't just one woman got prayer in school. It was a bunch of Christians
that didn't
stand, that didn't speak.
Right.
You're right.
You go back and trace it. They might have had a march or two, but a unified effort wasn't there.
That's right.
People was worried about money and materialism.
Yeah.
We're guilty for that. Oh, help us, Jesus, for that. Well, the person of peace, I love him tonight. I mentioned the president. I know a bunch of facts about him. A lot of them, unfortunately, I know. But I could quote off numbers to you about what he's done and amounts that he's taken our debt limits to, you know, from President Washington, the first president we had, all the way to President Bush, the president preceding him. He spent more in 2 years than all of the presidents combined. And I could tell you a whole bunch of stuff about him. And I mean, enough to, you'd think that I knew him. I know a lot about him. But I cannot get him on the phone tonight.
Right.
You know why? Because I don't know him.
Yeah.
I know about him. I know all about him. I can tell you he's black. He made some stupid decisions. And he got put into a place he didn't need to be put. That pretty much sums it up. About what I know about our president. Amen. And that he needs much prayer. That's the cherry on top. If we was going to say something good about it. Yeah. Just a quick summary. We'll alliterate later. No, but hey, I don't know him. If I tried to go barging through the White House tonight, they'd be like, "Who are you? We don't know you." And I can say, but hey, I know the numbers. I know what suit, what color tie he had on. I know what he's up to, and I know this about him. I know his children's name and his wife's name. And hey, I'm part of the family. You think I'm getting in? There's a whole bunch of people that's wanting peace, and they're failing in life because of a lack of peace. They think they know the person of peace. They think they have peace, but hey, they got a soul with a hole in it. And everything they put in is dripping out. And listen, there's no peace to be found. They're looking in all the wrong places. They're speaking to all the wrong people. Hey, listen, there is but one source of peace. And that's the person of peace.
Amen.
Now the Lord of peace himself. Give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all. The person of peace cannot be explained, cannot be exhausted, cannot be exterminated. Number two, the promise of peace. And I'll just do this quick. the promise. But boy, this is a blessing. Peace carries some big promises, and it can back all of them up.
That's good.
Amen. I mean, listen, who don't want peace? Everybody's crying out for peace. Everybody wants peace. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you really want it, you can have it. Amen. Yeah. That's right. God don't put stuff in front of us that we cannot attain to. Amen. I had somebody tell me the other day, "Whoa, preacher, I wish it was just one of them days I'd got to spend the whole day reading, and I'd just been all through reading." And it seemed like when I got up to preach that night, Brother Lester Roloff would do this most of the time. I think he said about 80% of the time, God would tell him what he was preaching from the time he got up from his chair to walk to the pulpit. I don't have that much faith, brother.
Amen.
Brethren, I'll just be honest. Now, they are lots of times when I come and the gun's empty and I don't have a shell one to even hunt for, and I don't know what's going to happen in the service other than a lot of singing. Yeah. I've been pastoring that long. That's how long I've pastored. To come up, I mean, bone dry with a bunch of cows looking at a new gate at you, expecting you to open the gate and give them some food.
Yeah.
Only find out I come to get some too. Right. Yes, sir. Say, what do you do? That's some of the best preaching God's ever done. I'm sincere about that. But I'd been reading and reading, and boy, I just got up and I'd say, I was reading that today, and I'd quote that verse, and I said, boy, I was reading that today. And it was. I wasn't lying about it. I mean, it just seemed like every verse I'd read, God had brought back to my memory.
Yeah.
Boy, I was preaching that, and it's helping this one, and it's helping that one. And somebody come up to me after church and said, preacher, how did you memorize all that? How did you memorize all that? Because I got up and told him I didn't have nothing to preach, and I didn't. God did. Amen. And if we'd shut up some of the things we have to preach, maybe God can get a word in. Yeah. That's right. It's all got to be alliterated. I'm not against alliteration. I'm preaching alliterated. It helps me to remember, and I need that. That's right. But hey, we ought not change our message to make it fit an outline.
Amen.
Right. I mean, if... And it kills me, and he knows. Well, I mean, we eat, sleep, and drink alliteration. There ain't nothing spiritual about alliteration. If it comes to the place where one of the letters ain't going to start off right, are we going to have to change the message? Listen, are you going to have to give a word that long and then to take 20 minutes and describe what it means?
Yeah, right.
Just so on paper it looks right. Let's just put our religious robes on and go through the motions. We'll preach a Catholic down and preach a Methodist down and all this stuff, but we ain't no better. We ain't no better if we ain't careful. Amen. Well, let's look at the promise of peace. Number one, it's a present. Look at it. Now the Lord of peace himself
give you.
It is a present from the Lord. And I was just like I was talking about the Bible. That boy, I think as a young man come up and said, how'd you memorize all that? I said, brother, I couldn't quote you one of them verses right now. And that, so it was the truth. I said, God was doing that. But you know what the truth is? Listen to me tonight. I'm sincere about this. God has given you just as much of his word as he's given me or your preacher or any great preacher. And I used to think as a little boy, if I could ever just grow up and be like Preacher Maccabee, I'd be it. I would have arrived, you know. Now think that about your pastor. You know, if I could ever grow up and be like him, woohoo, that'd be great, you know. When I grow up, I want to be just like him. I'm telling the truth. I mean it. But hey, listen. You know what I come to find? The best of men are just men at best. And he has no inside or inroad on the Lord or none of these other prisons. I don't. We have as much knowledge as we want. We have as much wisdom as we want. Hey, let me tell you this. We have as much peace as we want. You know that some people get off on not having peace. I mean, people, listen, do you know that the pharmaceutical companies in this country are banging it rich and through the roof, and they hogtied together with the government and with the doctors and the insurance, and it's all one together. And as I'm preaching funeral after funeral of people overdosing and overdosing and taking too much of this pharmaceutical mess. Hey, listen, I know some need it. God bless you. But hey, there's more that don't than do. That are messing with it, and they're dying like flies out there. Hey, listen to me. It's visited my home and my family. And listen to me tonight. There's no peace in that. There's no peace in that. A pill can give you peace. Pot can give you peace. Cocaine can give you peace. Hey, listen. Church can give you peace. As a person, I could introduce you to him. And he can give it. I'm telling you, I've woke up. Listen, you're looking at somebody who's been out on the back. I mean, I've been shot at, stabbed, beat by 15 of them. I ain't lying to you. That little woman that was up there singing with tears coming down her face, it ain't a joke to us. It's real. We've lived it. That's right. Well, hey, listen. Coming to church, we come to get help. We come to get peace. We need it. Amen. I've been on the wrong side where there is none.
Yes, sir.
But boy, when you hear them sandals that come a-walking in your door, looking through the eye of faith, it's almost as though I could just see them come over the horizon into my bedroom and conviction lay down on me. And before I know it, I'm repenting of sin. Oh, God, forgive me of this and forgive me of that. And before I know it, the person of Christ is there, and peace is just automatic.
Amen.
We'll ever get yoked with him. Peace just comes with the person. There is no peace apart from the person of Christ. Amen. Well, the person and the promise. Look at what it said. Give you. It's a gift. It's a present, if you will. It's getting to be not too awful long before Christmas. And I'm sure some of you is already looking for deals, for presents. Say, are you against that? No. If you don't believe me, give me something and I'll show you. Not against it. But hey, let me just give you a quick truth and kill two of these in one. Not only the promise of peace is a present, but it's priceless. And did you know that a present, at the very moment that you put a penny price tag on it, no longer is a present. It becomes a wage. Right. I'm talking just a penny. Can't be a present. But when it's free, like the place I'm staying this week, that was a present.
Amen.
I'm getting to be here tonight. I mean, this is the highlight of my week. And if I hadn't got to preach, it'd have been the highlight of my week just to heard the announcement at RBT. I'm not in Hepsiba, Georgia. I'm in Tennessee. That's glory right there. Although, before you get on your high horse, I did read Hepzibah in the Bible, bless God, and it's the land of marriage and happiness and wonder. It was a bad place, and God made it a good place. These preachers call me, what in the world kind of place are you living? Hepzibah, what is that? I said, man, read your Bible. Amen. It's in there. We made the book. Amen. Amen. We made the book. Where's RBT in there? I don't see no Rogersville in the Bible. Might be one of your funny, perverted virgins, but not in the King James Bible. No. I'm just going on. Hey, a present is priceless. He said, give thee peace. You know, you can't, hey, listen. I don't know y'all, like your preacher knows you. And they'd all be a millionaire in here. I don't know. Some might say, you're right. We're just country. But, well, listen, I seen the pretty roof and the new wind and what God's doing. Hey, listen, praise the Lord for that. And the preacher told me that a hailstorm came through here and insurance had to pay for some of that and all that. That's praise right. the Lord. Yeah. Praise yeah. the Lord for that. Hey, that's wonderful. Yeah. It didn't cost you nothing.
Right.
That's
right. Lord.
It's a wave offering there, yeah, praise the Lord. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Well, yeah. It's priceless. See, us in Hepzibah, we have to put our own roofs on. And pay for them. And pay people in our church to do it. We got some heathen. Yeah. No, we just started. But honestly, I praise the Lord for what he's doing. The promise of peace.
Yeah.
It's a present. It's priceless. It's personal. It's personal. Do you know the person right beside me can be down in the dumps, man? Honestly. Or on any given day, it could be me down in the dumps. And the person right beside me be having a shouting spell. I remember coming here. And I'm not going to tell you no story. I come here and I was getting out of the car, probably begrudging the ride and you know, probably smacking one of the girls, telling them to behave. And, you know, we wasn't churched up yet, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I heard that.
Hadn't even got all the church shoes tied yet.
Well.
Telling Jenny, I said, come on, man, let's get it. Get in the house of God. I mean, they started. What are y'all doing? Her caring for young, and I'm up here with a Bible.
Yeah.
I'll get that in a minute. I ought to have had a few women say amen right there.
Yeah.
And I puffs up here. Whoosh, I said, get in here. Like cowhide, you know. Well, when you live in the house of four women, you'll go crazy like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember coming through there, and I was about to escort them right in. And by this time, I mean, hey, you can get backslid from the car to the door.
Yeah.
And sure enough, from your home to the house of God, you better look for the devil.
Yeah.
And if my wife said this statement on the way over here, preacher, you might want to write down, I'm going to. Amen. She preached way better than me. She just ain't anointed. Amen. She said, look at there. Look at them. She said, look at there. The higher you get on top of the mountain, the closer you are to the storm clouds. Never thought about it. You know, hey, that's the God's honest truth. You ever been just flying high with the Lord, and next thing you know, you just eating crow with the turkeys?
Yeah.
Amen. Before you even know it, blindsided, just before you know it, you're down and out and frustrated, and it's got complicated, and before you know it, you don't even know what's going on, and your peace is gone.
Yeah.
Amen. It can happen. To you. And since you preach to me when you're at my church, I'm going to preach to you too.
Bless
it can happen
Lord.
To you.
Yes, sir. Preach to you.
Even in camp meeting and revival.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, I love your preacher a bunch. You know what I want for him? You know, I pray for him and his family in this church. God, give them peace. Lord, give them peace.
Right.
Give it to them, Lord. I mean, pour it on them.
Yeah.
Pour it on them. I know if he's got peace, he's going to be preaching and power. And hey, listen, what better could you do for your church than make sure that the man of make sure that hey has a clean, clear way that he can live the most peaceable life that I have, be with the Lord, yoked up with the Lord. Hey, don't you dare say a negative thing about him being preaching out somewhere, helping somebody. That's you getting back into that competition zone there. Hey, if people's getting saved, to God be the glory. Great things. You have done. Amen. Amen. Hey, that's right. Had somebody say something to me. As a matter of fact, it was a preacher said something to me about being gone preaching. You ain't never going to build a church doing that. I said, brother, I'm just going to tell you what I told him. I said, stick to preaching at your place. And you won't have to worry about pastoring me. Amen. Right. Hey, listen, I just go when God says go and stop when he says stop, and God knows how to do it all. Amen.
Amen.
And hey, he's teaching me along the way.
Amen.
We need peace, the promise of peace. He'll give it to you personally.
Yes.
Amen. You ever feel like you was in the service and everybody else is shouting and amen and glory and you're just sitting there all alone and you may even throw the hand up when you're supposed to. You know, hey man, we know when to. How to even. And can do it with conviction. That's right. That's exactly right. I can go to church. It's the truth. I can go to church and nobody never know that I didn't have peace. We can make it look good.
Yeah, buddy.
I ain't talking about the shell of you. I'm not talking about the outer. I'm talking about what's really in there. Do you really, really, tonight, can you stand before God Almighty, a thrice holy God, and stand before Him tonight and say, I've got the peace that you give me. Amen?
It's good.
Hey, if God give it to you, it's worth having.
Amen.
Amen. It's worth having.
Amen.
And if He didn't give it to you, junk it and get what He's got. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a process, personal. Give you peace. I love this. Always. It's permanent. It's permanent. The Lord can give you peace. Hey, listen. I had an old account. And it was growing. Every day. Right. And listen, I was abiding under the condemnation of God Almighty. Living and abiding without peace. I was at odds with peace until He saved me. Till the person of peace come into me. Changed me. Rearranged me. Everything's different. And until that's settled, you'll never have peace forever. People think they hit some kind of utopia and some kind of, you know, go through some kind of religious, utopia and feel good and give it all they got. I've seen these, you know, and Paul talked about these zealots and these that would go gung-ho for a month and then fizzle out before you could even get them started right. You know, there's something more to the Christian life. More sustaining. If we'll get a hold of the peace of God. And He's wanting to give it to us.
Yeah.
And you know what we have to? We have to almost block it. Because He's giving it.
Yeah.
Tonight, He's here giving it. If I had told you behind this platform before y'all even knew it, I'd come up here and stuck $1 million in a box. And after the service, if you want some, just come and get it. Don't cost you a thing, just come and get it. If it was physically in a box, now just me saying that, ain't nobody gonna come up here and look. And I wouldn't either if it was me saying it. But when God said it,
amen.
That's way more than $1 million
yeah,
we're dealing with.
He's
really, I'm talking about tonight in Rogersville, Tennessee, He's desiring to give you personally forever peace.
Amen.
What's good? Thank you, Lord.
Ain't you? Ooh.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Nothing can replace that. Nothing can outdo that. No, I think of the days when you was a sinner. Did anything ever take you that high? Or that last that long? No. The devil don't have nothing on God. Nothing. The peace of God. Amen. Well, let's be done. Last of all, the person of peace, the promise of peace, is permanent. He said, give you peace always. Look at these three words. Never saw this.
By all
means. By all means. The path of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Or the process of peace. However you want to call it. Listen, God, what He's saying here, God is taking even the negative things you don't like and I don't like in our life. And by all means, I mean whatever means it presents itself to God, God can take that and turn it into good and turn it into right and turn it into peace.
Amen.
No matter what situation it is. It don't matter what numbers you plug in the holes. God can compute that into peace by all means. There is not a means. That by all means there's not any other means that can get in that spot. God's claimed that. God said, by all means, I take all means. Even what the devil meant for evil, that's still in my category. That's still in my box. I've already claimed that. By all means, I'm working peace for him. I'm working peace for her. By all means. God saying what the devil meant for evil, I mean for good. God said for all things are working together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
By all means. Say, so I just don't see what God's doing in this.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't see a lot of what God's doing. And if I could understand and tell you everything God was doing, I'd have a pretty poor, pathetic God. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm glad I can't explain him to you.
Yeah.
I love trying, but hey, listen, I'm glad he's bigger than that. I'm glad he's bigger and more, way more vast than my wildest imagination of good. He goes, he exceedingly abundantly above that. Far beyond our best that we can think of him and that he would desire for us. He's willing to do way more than that. The soul, hey, listen, I see new faces here. I see same faces here. And there ought to be a mixture of both at all times. It ought not just be all new faces. That means something real bad's happened or something real good if you, you know, I have said that. Sometimes it's better to see them go than see them come. Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just giving you a little bit of what the pastor thinks sometimes. No, really. We want to help people. That's right. Period. We want to help people. But if it's going to be a hurt to the flock, amen, then sometimes it's better. I tell you this, we had our fourth year of being at the church. Here, I was telling the preacher this earlier, the other day, about a month ago, and the pastor, he's preached, about, 3 years at our church. Week-long meeting, so we've become to know, he knows our church. And through me, he knows my heart and what, you know, what we want to do and what the Lord's trying to do. And I asked the church to stand that had been saved in the last four, since we had been there. I was just curious. I didn't know. And to my amazement, I mean, if we had all the people that had been there as members, I ain't talking about just visiting, but people who had joined there or was already members in one service, we wouldn't be able to hold them all. I mean, that's a revolving door, sure enough. But about 80% of that crowd that stood up, they stood up and saved in the last 4 years.
Praise God.
You know what that tells me? Number one, hadn't been a whole lot of preaching going on around there. And number two, them people that are saved, boy, they're moldable and tangible and wanting to do. And more, they just thirsting, as he was preaching about last night, hungering after righteousness. And hey, you get up and preach something, I mean, you can skin their hide and they'll hug your neck. You can preach, hey, you can preach to them, listen, anything you want to. You can't preach it hard enough and hot enough, and they'll eat it up and love you to death and put money in your pocket on the way out the door. And bless the Lord, give me them. Take your mossy backs with you. I don't need that kind. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Right. People that stir up strife and all that. Hey, why would you want to be a part of that when you can be a part of peace and the working of peace? By all means. Hey, wouldn't you like for God to just look down today, and the Bible says he looks down on us as grasshoppers. In other words, he sits on the circumference of the universe, and God sees the end from the beginning. He knows our thoughts are far off. And wouldn't you like for tomorrow for God to look your direction and say, by all means, and today it's going to be her means. Today it's going to be his means, and I'm going to use them for peace to somebody else.
Amen.
Are you being used of him? Are you wreaking havoc wherever you go? Is there a dust storm stirring everywhere you're at? I pastor some people. I mean, brother, if they at McDonald's, they's a fight at McDonald's. If they at Lowe's, there's something going on at Lowe's, hot and heavy. Now, I've got some people, I mean, you could put them right in the middle of a fight, and they just got peace about them. And somebody, be ready to go at it. And they just bring peace to the situation. You know what it is? It ain't. Hey, listen to me. We got different personalities, but we don't have different peace.
Right.
There's only one peace. There's not two. Hey, our personalities may differ. Our preaching abilities and styles may differ. I can't even stand in. I'm nervous to be behind the same pulpit as that great man. But our personalities and preaching abilities are different. But he, you know, when it's all boiled down and said and done, we preach from the same book. We got the same God, the same anointing, the same Holy Ghost. And hey, when it's all said and done tonight, I'll be able to look, pillow my head and say, to God be the glory. Hey, great things he hath done. The peace of God and the person of peace and the promise of peace is working in me today.
Amen.
How long has it been since you've really had it? Peace. Amen. You need it.
Yeah.
In this crazy society we're living in, read it. Won't. I promise you. On the way here, I read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But just don't take it just a minute or two to read. I mean, just a few minutes to read it. And all these big things that are happening, dealing with the end of the world, and we're living in that.
Right.
What they're writing about here, we're living it.
Right.
If there's ever been a generation that needed peace as Christian people, it's this one.
Right.
If there's ever been a congregation of the church that needed to display their peace, to let people see it, it's this one. Because there's a world out there of phonies and fakes. And most of the time, we'll be honest, and I'm done. Listen. Most of the time, I'm guilty. God, forgive me. But I'm not projecting from my life peace. Now to church people, maybe. Behind the pulpit, of course. In the car, on the way home.
Yeah, questionable.
When somebody says something back to, when somebody persecutes me, doubtful. Getting colder by the minute, by the sentence. When somebody curses my wife or children, fist fight, no peace.
Yeah.
Done for.
Yeah.
That is the line.
Yeah.
But I'm sincere. People need to, more than just hear it, people need to see it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If I've ever preached to a people and ever got a response back from a lost and dying world, it's the church is a bunch of hypocrites. And they ain't no better off than I am, because we mope and grope and got the mully grubs, and you know, you